It's June the 3rd, 2013. I'm your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer. Program is Faith and Family. Our director of operations, we've been working on so many things, especially the upcoming move, dear listener out there, to our new studio location out at the International Center and other things. And he was doing the weather, and he looked at me and said, stay tuned, and he couldn't figure out what the program was because we're doing a few. But we welcome you in, and we want to encourage you to check out our Wi-Fi radio giveaway program. We're excited. We gave away the first one just last Friday in honor of Mom's Day, and Jan Lawson of Monticello, Illinois, was the winner of that Wi-Fi radio for her mom. And so in June, we're going to give away a second one to the one that gives the entry that gets the most likes on our Facebook page for fathers. So put your father in there, get your friends, your congregation, all your Facebook contacts to like it, and your dad could receive this beautiful Grace Wi-Fi radio. Now, I bought one for my wife, and we've had repeated feedback from people that have bought it for their grandparents that are away in senior citizens' homes and that, and they just love them. Easy to work. I listen to Worldwide KFUO 24/7 and about 10,000 other stations. So go on our website, kfuo.org, or our Facebook page. You'll find the details how to enter your dad into it and get him this fine radio station. We have a dad and I believe a grandparent as our guest today. Jack Fiennes, a licensed psychologist in Springfield, Illinois, I believe. Is that right, Jack?
That's correct. Wi-Fi radio, do you set instructions with that in English or something like that so you can know how to plug it in and turn it on?
No, what you have to have is about a three-year-old because Gary just had his three-year-old grandson hook up his smart TV and got KFUO over it. So it's really easy. If you have problems, you just call us up. It's really pretty easy. I did it. No problem at all.
Yeah, because I tried to hook my toaster up the other day. It cooked me some bread in the morning, and I had it all plugged in and everything, and my grandson looked at me, he's 5 years old, he says, you got to put the bread in first. You know, so.
Oh, that didn't work without putting the bread in.
Yeah. You're pushing it on, all was great, but, you know, you got to have bread in there, and then finally it kicks on, you know. But
Yeah, it works much better if you put the bread or the bagel in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you're handling summer now, huh? It's not the first day of summer, but the first day of June. You know, it's so nice and wet here in Springfield. I have morel mushrooms growing in my front yard.
Wow.
And I have a new friend that's a black snake that decided to arrive on my porch because it was too wet out in the trees, so it came down for the patio.
Yikes, that's not good.
Well, it's all right because the snake's number one meal is all the mice, and the mice are moving toward the house, too, so... We have immigration reform going on in my backyard. It's just my mice are moving and the snake is moving, and so I'm not moving, but it's becoming a little different habitat out there. You know.
Yeah, and the wetness will do that. So, for those of you in the world that are dry, count your blessings. Here in the Midwest, we're getting flooding on all the big rivers that are around us: the Missouri, the Illinois, the Mississippi, and so. Some people are struggling a little bit. And we are venturing into a new topic this week on Faith and Family, Fun in the Sun. And the topic today, which I know Jack and I are going to have a good time talking about because we both participate in this, is grandparents and their grandchildren in summer vacations. Jack?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting how you use the topic as Fun in the Sun. We should have had Fun in the Swamp because that's a little bit more apropos for central states weather we've had.
Yeah,
we just basically built a what we call ostensibly called Fort Fiennes, the backyard. A bunch of us guys got together and put this thing together, which has got swings and slides and doors, and we can get a doorbell out of the works. So the grandkids have come over and christened it, and even the 15-year-old granddaughter's been up. There's a little area for her upstairs so she can listen to music and Facebook her friends and that kind of stuff. But
wow!
But it's rough. It looks like something left out of the old West, but it has become a central focus at least the first few weeks here of the summer. So
neat.
But we're planning on. The only problem with it is when you have grandkids, which I do have, especially grandsons, they want me, which is otherwise known as Papa, to go down the slide with them. Okay. Now, when you take a almost 61-year-old body, which would resemble me, you're talking about Moses, you know, a program on Moses when he was born. I remember that because I'm so old. I mean, I do. It was a while ago, but Moses and I had the same.
We saw the burning bush and all that. So
Nah, it was actually the river. We were in the same little basket, kind of floating down the river. You know, he came in. He was more Federal Express, and I was more as a lower class. But we floated still. But no, when your body goes down those slides, oh my! I think the slide's not the problem with the grandkids. I think it's a big hump and bump at the bottom. That's the problem.
Yeah, the landing is, it's sometimes like the airplane flights. The takeoff isn't bad. It's that landing that can be problematic.
And the grandkids are always, when they hit the bottom, they yell, scream, jump, they're just happy because they just, they want to do it again. When I hit the bottom, I'm looking for an angel of mercy, or something like that, bring like a... an aspirin or something to me,
unfortunately, Jack, I can really relate to that with those physical activities, and you don't take the kids to these, amusement parks, Six Flags or one of those with all the rides. You buy the tickets and put them on there, and then that's it.
I provide what I call social support at Six Flags. Okay. Which means I cheer them on, I take pictures, I buy them on the root beer, and then get them to the crowds. But technically speaking, my hospital coverage, or I'm joking, my hospitalization doesn't include grandkid injuries,
Right, so, right.
But no, it's fun. The neat thing with summer, and I guess the same thing with winter, because there's you can sled and ski and stuff like that a little bit with grandkids. But the neat thing is there's so much to see. I mean, we've been blessed. Behind our house, we got a whole, I don't know what you call it, a bunch of trees. And actually, we don't own all of it. There's about 100 acres of trees back there. And you can walk through and see, all kinds of things, from moss to tree limbs to whatever you want to run into, foxes and stuff. And it's neat to be able to talk about, especially the creative power and preservative power of God, when you've got that right in front of you and you can see how miraculous, and the grandkids can see how miraculous and how complex the whole creation is, and how it all sort of fits together. It's not random. It's not just sort of one big collage. It's everything has its purpose. Everything has its place. Everything has its design, and there's a reason then why it's there. You get a whole bunch of learning, a little bit of a walk,
I guess. Now, that's a great idea, because in all parts of the country and the world, there are different beautiful facets of God's creation. And so you can explore it with kids and learn something yourself, because a lot of times they're going to ask whys, and you can go and figure it out. Just take your smartphone and look it up and give them an answer, right?
Yeah, sometimes, the smartphone requires a smart five-year-old to figure out how to do it. I'm reasonably good with Google if I can spell right, My spelling's not as good as my five-year-old is, but he can spell better. But I can find the answers most of the time. But it's interesting because they will get into deep. The one thing you want to get into, if you can, I had the grandkids over yesterday after church, and what's very interesting is they can get into some really really deep conversations without, their parents are gone or no one is around, the dog's there with you, and they can say, how will you be when I'm a grandparent like you, not even be here, summer provides us a way of exploring what I call the outer world. The outer world is, like I just said, you get outside, you take a walk in the trees, and take a walk by a stream, and maybe see a fish, and see all kinds of geodes, or see all kinds of rocks, and neat colors and everything. And then you have the inner world, and the inner world is when you connect with the grandkid, the grandson, granddaughter, nephew, niece, whatever, and you let them ask you questions, okay? And you can ask them some questions, too, but standard questions are sort of stupid. I mean, you say, well, how was school fine? Well, how was this fine? I mean, that's, but, let them think a little bit. Now, they can come up with some really, really interesting a question sometimes about what it was like when you were a kid, or, you know, but, you know, what was going on back then, or how was your mom? You know, there's some, and it can be rather entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can also get them going. I mean, we had a lot of little toys and manipulatables and stuff, and you can get the grandkids getting you part of their, I don't know, they call it a fairy tale or fantasy. They'll take a few of their old toys and they'll have you basically interact with them and interact in their storyline. It's really fun. That's the kind of stuff that's immeasurable.
It sure is.
Because not only you grow from it, but they grow from it. And then when you have it sometimes in your life, like maybe you're sick, or maybe you're having trouble at work, or maybe you're having some other issues, a grandparent or a parent can sit back and remember those times in their mind and think how blessed they are to have that grandkid.
Talk about being interactive with your grandkids, Jack. This is an interactive program, and we'd love to have your input, your questions, your comments on vacations with your grandkids or with your kids. I'd rather have the grandkids, and the kids can do something else. But you can call and talk to us about that, 314-505-7850 in the St. Louis area or elsewhere, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. Or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd love to have your comments or your questions. You know, Jack, do you have any fond memories of any summers with your grandparents?
Oh, I had a lot of good times with all my grandparents. My grandma, both my grandmother were characters on both sides of the family, and grandmother and I, this was out in Salt Lake, we decided one day, I think it was about five or six, we decided just to go and get on the bus, the city bus. I mean, we had regular vacations at Yellowstone and other places, but one day it was just fun. We just got on the city bus one time and just rode all over the bus, you know. I rode all over the city and spent actually about 6 hours, you know, stopped off for lunch and went to the zoo and all that stuff, but spent the entire time just riding the city bus all over the city. It was really fun, you know. And we got to see all different parts. I finally went to some places in the city that I had never been before. I haven't been since, but it was fun. The other grandma, we would go to all kinds of different places like New Salem or Chicago and explore this, explore that. The good neat thing when you're grandparents is you get toys and things that you don't normally get with your regular parents. So, you know.
Is it good, Jack, do you think, that grandparents can spoil their grandkids a little bit when they have them on these summer vacations?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people say, you know, blah, 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 they really shouldn't or what have you, you know. It's sort of a little maybe bias or whatever against that. But, you know, honestly, I hate to be funny, but you know, you only quote unquote live once, okay? And when you're living once, if you will, you know, what are any names say once in that book, life's a feast and some poor fools are starving to death. You know, get out and have some fun, you know, make some memories both with the grandchild and the grandparent. You don't have to spoil them. I think if we're talking about buying San Francisco for them or something like that, that's really over the edge, but. You know, you can buy a special souvenir, a special toy, especially if the grandkids have driven in or trained in or flown in to see it. Something you can remember.
Sure.
That's tremendous, you know.
Yeah, I think those bonding moments, and if they can take away stuff that they can, you know, cherish the rest of their lives, as those of us that did that can, that's really healthy. And, you know, I can easily remember, Jack, that growing up little, that my grandparents would take one of us boys at one at a time. They couldn't take more than one of us because we would gang up on them. But
yeah,
they would take one of us and keep us for a couple of weeks. And, you know, we lived out west in a fairly good-sized city kids. And they had farm life in little towns near Kansas City. And so that was great fun for us. And you know, being city kids, we you know, they didn't really have the city things that we had, but we enjoyed it more to be taken out to farms. Some of our relatives had farms, and we'd never seen that stuff before. And you know, we were like craving to do chores. And they're like, "You want to do chores?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've always wondered what slop the pigs is like." And so we learned that. And I still cherish that stuff. And I remember my grandpa would buy me little things that he was into sports, I was into sports, and he'd buy me a new baseball glove, and we'd go to a game. Boy, I always cherish that stuff, you know? It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be well thought out, and you don't have to spend a lot. But and so for grandparents to ask to have their kids, maybe a few at a time or single at a time, it's really neat times, as you were talking about there, to when you can just be alone one-on-one and talk.
Well, that's the thing you talk about, chores there. It was sort of funny, a few weeks ago my grandsons were over, and I have actually three, but one is only 8 months old, so he's not really ambulatory yet. But the other couple, there was a vacuum cleaner that was right outside my den, and, you know, ostensibly when they left I was going to do some vacuum around the house. And Jackson said to me, "What's that out for?" And I said, "Well, we're going to do some cleaning later." And I says, "How does that work?" I said, "Well, you plug it in and you move it around, it sucks things up." He says, "My mom and dad do that, I want to try that." So I thought, well, yeah. Okay, buddy, you know. And he had the grandest time. He was, wherever the cat went, wherever the dog went, boy, he was asking what the vacuum was for. I think actually the cat hadn't been seen for about 2 weeks. I think it's suffering post-traumatic stress right now somewhere.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Probably checked itself in for rehab or something. But now we had, like you talk about the remembrance of the stuff. Last year we were blessed enough to take Jackson down to the Texas, down to the Alamo. And I mean, to this day, I mean, it was a year ago, to this day, he talks about the Alamo, and he comes over, we bought a little toys for him there, you know, the typical, defenders of the Alamo and the attackers of the Alamo. We talk about it, and you know, it's funny because he goes to school and he sees the map, and there's Texas there, and so he can identify with the fact that Texas and Arizona, all that stuff, were part of Mexico once. It didn't cost much more than I had to fly down there, but a walk through the Alamo, a few photos, maybe a couple little picture books and stuff, and that was, and a coin. We got a coin through the Alamo on a Texas Ranger on the other side of the coin. So, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that will be triggers for very, very pleasant, happy memories and you know, things to build a life on, you know. And you can talk about to the kids, the grandkids, you can talk about how they're, that, you know, we talk about blessings, they're happy being with you, but you're talking about them being blessings to you, that God gives blessings to you, you know, in your life, and they are living, walking, talking blessings, you know.
They sure are.
I mean,
you know,
they you don't even have to assemble them much with batteries. They just basically pop out and they're there, you know.
There so. They go. And, you know, I think one of my favorite memories with the grandkids, and they're long, far away, too far away from us out in Washington State, is that we spent 3 weeks with them at a lake cottage up in northern Michigan. And I started off, we did family devotions every morning. And I asked the rest of the family to individually or in groups take the other days. It wasn't going to demand they'll do it. But I said, if you don't, you know, Grandpa Rod's going to do it all. And so they didn't want Grandpa Rod to do every day. So they still talk about that, how they got to develop their own devotions and present them. And you know, the other thing we did, Jack, which was great fun for me, my wife and I said we wanted to spoil them with some gifts. And so here's what we did. We took a set amount of money, cash, for each one of them. We put it in an envelope with their name on it. And then with their parents' permission, they could spend that money in that envelope however they wanted. A few of them, you know, were usually the older ones, were kind of silly, bought stuff and ran out of money pretty quick. But the youngest, he really impressed me, Jack. He ended up, every time he would like bring me a shirt at this lighthouse, and he'd say, you know, Grandpa, can I get this T-shirt? And I'd look at the price, you know, it'd say $8. And I'd say, absolutely, Hunter, if you want that. He would think about it, and then later on I'd see him, you want to buy that T-shirt? No. He said, oh, thank you, I'll wait. And then he said to me, at the end of 3 weeks, if I haven't spent any of that money, what do you do with it? And I said, it's yours, buddy. And you know what? I think he spent $2 out of a lot of money. And I was so impressed with that. A little steward growing up there, you know.
Exactly.
And that's so much fun. We still, he's, boy, that's been a few years ago. He still remembers that. And he said, you know, that was great fun, Grandpa. And I asked him, you know, what'd you do with that? And he said, I saved it up and, I bought some golf clubs with it, remembering you and when I played golf with you, you know, Grandpa.
That's neat.
So that's all kinds of creative things you can do with these kids. And you know, I like what you were talking to about those moments on a nature hike or whatever, just sitting around in a rainstorm, and things will pop up that you can get Christ and your faith in there, can't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you talk about praying and the devotions. My granddaughter now, is going to be 15, and so she's, she's gets into these, you know, what happens is she gets some cheating going on. I'm joking. She gets questions, you know, from religion class, and so her mom, instead of asking her dad, she comes over to my place and asks me the questions, okay? And we have a lot of fun going into that. And my grandson now, he's gone through what they call pre-K or whatever the designation is, but they get him really into praying, you know. And so now, whenever he and I are together, I mean, it used to be that I would say the prayers or come up with something. Well, now he's all about making up his own prayer, you know, for lunch or dinner or going to bed at night. And it's sort of fun to listen to what we want blessed and what the big concerns are in his life.
Yeah. And isn't it great as a grandparent, Jack, to influence your grandkids and the most important thing? And, you know, they will sense that. I think, you know, they always talk about how the older people in the world get along with the younger people really well bond. And I think that's because, you know, we get old like at our age, Jack. You know, I'm not out to change, and I'm kind of comfortable in my own skin. And I think young people pick up on that, don't they? They're like hypersensitive to that.
Well, I think the thing that's interesting is that sometimes parents themselves, their parents, you know, their parents when they're younger, they don't want to make mistakes, and I guess there's a little bit of, if you will, social comparison going on. I mean, they want to make sure they do the right things and the kids get the right nutrition and blah, 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 you know. As you get to, you know, you're hitting 61 and stuff like that, you don't quite worry about it too much anymore, you know.
No, that's right.
And we're much more calm, I mean, you know, really. And if I've got the wrong tennis shoes on, or if I somehow didn't eat enough apples that week or whatever, I mean, really, it's not that big of a deal. And I think it's a more of a at-rest or relaxed standard with grandparents. Plus, they can ask any questions they want to, you know, or say anything you want. With the parents, sometimes there's all that idea of, like, oh, social demand and social acquiescence, and don't, you know, you never know what the parent might respond back to, but you can ask a grandfather, grandmother, anything. I mean, you know.
Yeah. They're kind of like new prey, you know, to ask the questions on and don't have to worry about how many times they've heard it. Just hit it with us, you know, and you love that attention as a grandparent.
What I got a kick out of is my granddaughter one time got not a tremendous score on a math test. She got a C or something like that. It wasn't that bad, but it was, and she was all moaning and groaning about it, you know, and her mom was moaning and groaning about it. Dad was more going, oh, you know, the end of the world. You know, she's in seventh grade, got a C in math test, you know. And so, you know, I said, you know, that's sort of interesting. I said, I almost didn't pass algebra in ninth grade. I said, the only way I passed algebra is my cousin was dating George Malo, my algebra teacher. And he gave me a B. In fact, she wanted to dump him at Christmas. I said, you're dating him until May, until I get out of this.
That's funny. That's funny.
And then my granddaughter or my daughter said, oh, that's terrible, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was always good at math. I said, really? So I pulled out her math scores from sixth grade in Our Saviors, you know.
I saved them. Wow.
And I got them. And I said, well, you know, what was this grade here? He had a score of, 30 on an 80-point test. Wow, that's a lot of studying. Well, of course, immediately my granddaughter got that framed and hung in her room. So
yeah, that's getting one back. Listen, we're going to take a brief break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Jack Fiennes, our good friend up in Springfield, Illinois. And you can talk to Jack as well, or talk about grandparenting and grandkids over the summer vacation. It's fun in the sun week, or you can talk about with your own kids fun in the sun. So call in at 314-505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us at family@KFUO. And don't wipe out. We'll be right back.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Can a woman give birth while being dead? Well, technically yes. Erica Nigrelli is a high school English teacher in Missouri. She was over 8 months pregnant and told a fellow teacher she felt faint, passed out, and her heart stopped beating. Her husband Nathan is a teacher in the same school and was only doors away. He came running when he heard the commotion and called 911. Other teachers performed CPR and attempted to revive her with a defibrillator. Paramedics soon arrived and took her to the hospital while continuing to perform CPR. Once at the hospital, doctors continued CPR and delivered Erica's daughter via emergency cesarean. Everybody's now fine, but Erica did it the hard way by giving birth post-mortem. The Lord moves in mysterious ways.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS recognized service organization.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Sunday, June 3rd, 2013. Today's day sponsors are Reverend Jim and Sharon Rosbach. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO with thanksgiving to Christ for His Word through KFUO. Once again, we say thank you to Reverend Jim and Sharon Rosbach of St. Louis, Missouri. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has elected its first openly gay bishop. In a press release, church officials say the Reverend R. Guy Irwin was selected for a 6-year term Friday at a Synod Annual Assembly. Church rules were changed in 2009 to allow gays and lesbians to be ordained in the nation's largest Lutheran denomination. More than 600 congregations have left the denomination since the change. But Emily Eastwood with the group Reconciling Works says,
anyone that meets Guy and has a chance to sit down and talk with him would find that he is certainly a person called to ministry and a child of God.
Irwin currently serves as a pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Los Angeles and as a professor of Lutheran confessional theology at California Lutheran University. Officials say the partnered gay man is also the first Native American to be elected. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. Your host, Rod Zwanitzer, here on Fun in the Sun Week, talking about grandparents spending some vacation time, quality of vacation time, fun in the sun. And we're talking with Jack Fiennes, a licensed Christian psychologist counselor in Springfield, Illinois. You know, Jack, it's about creating and deepening your relationship with your grandkids by, I think, two things. Sharing the things that grandparents love and important to them, and learning what excites and interest our grandkids. You know, if you're into gardening, which I'm not, you can share that with your grandkid. I know as a grandkid myself, you know, if my grandparents were into something passionately, I wanted to at least explore that with them. And yes. I can remember my grandfather, Jack, in this little farming town in Kansas. He loved to shoot pool, and especially snooker. And he was a big guy, and he wore coveralls, and he would love to get these young whippersnappers and show them a thing or two. And so he would get permission from the owner to take me in there and watch. And I was just amazed watching my grandfather, the agility he had and all that. And I was probably only 8 or 9, but I was an athlete, and I thought, boy, this guy is really something. And I remember asking him, like, well, you know, how did you do that? And then he'd stop and show me some stuff. And, you know, that's the way that you can really deepen your relationship, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it depends on, you know, you can also tell the grandkids some of the stories, and if you, I don't want to say legends, but some of the stories of the family, and sort of weave some of the history in that that they you know, they may not be able to get just in the two-dimensional world of mom and dad at home. And even though mom and dad are great, but I mean, you can show them pictures of not only your grandparents, but grandparents, great grandparents, and stuff, and things that were in their generation, and talk about, like, my grandfather was from Italy and was a lawyer and that, and he left us with all kinds of different kinds of images and pictures and history and background. And I mean, they love to hear those stories, and they actually love to see the images. They love to talk about it. And you know, you talk about things that we like, for example, I'm not a big gardener. I mean, my other grandkid's grandfather loves the garden, make great salsa sauce, and I mean, just tremendous gardener. But I raise these, it sounds ridiculous, but raise these things that are tree peonies, and the tree peonies are a plant that has a peony as a flower, but the bottom is an elm tree, and they're from China, and I bought my first one when I was, in 1965, and it was $1.99. This thing now is huge. It grows. You never cut them back. But you can explain to them, the reason I like those is because, quite frankly, you know, it's sort of a theory of life. You know, you grow up as one thing, you marry somebody, then there's this sort of connection between one kind of family, another kind of family, and then from that sprouts a history from the future, you know. And it's sort of the grafting of our lives into somebody else, and our grafting our, but we always keep the same value system, but you keep growing and growing and growing no matter what the weather's like. I mean, we won't last as long with tree peonies, so only last 700 years, I don't know. But it's sort of fun, and they get a big kick out of it. And each grandkid that's been born, and each family member that married their family, has always had their own, we planted a tree peony for everybody. So every time the grandkids come over with the kids, they got to see the plant for the mom, the dad, their brother, their sister, their cousins, and they go, not necessarily say hello to them, but they water them, and they fertilize them, and that kind of stuff. And it's sort of fun because it gets them into a little bit of a family tradition, but it also gets them into a family value system, which is really, really important, you know.
You know, that word that you're talking about, their tradition, is really something special, and you're talking about that, of forming that between grandkids and grandparents. And that's really special, isn't it, when you get to be a part of that? I know my oldest granddaughter, I never even thought of this, Jack, but, you know, I have 4 grandkids, and the 3 older ones are all girls, and I was always worried when they first came to stay with us, you know, I'm not around girls much. Growing up, we were all boys in my family, so I'm like, what do you do with girls? And my wife and I, just relax and do what you like to do. Well, I love to gourmet cook. And so since my oldest granddaughter was young, I would start cooking with her. And we would have great fun. So where she got older, she would say, you know, Grandpa, hey, can we do a special meal and cook tonight for everybody? He said, sure, let's do it. And what do you want to do? And she went, and you know, guess what she's going away now, graduating from high school, to do? She's going to be a gourmet chef.
That's cool.
And she thought, so, you know, like you're saying, whether you're into planting stuff or fishing or biking or, you know, whatever it is, your grandkids are going to be really excited to do that with you, to at least, you know, try it out with you.
Well, we have you're talking about cooking. My family, you know, we have now, obviously, my wife's family and my family. And the family, my wife's family is more the Scandinavian, Swedish side, and so she has her special prepared kind of foods they do. my family on the other side of my family is both Irish and Italian, so they get pot roasts and they get all kinds of what we call Suru sauce, which is a real thick meat sauce and various pastas and all stuff. Well, my granddaughter really took to this stuff, and she is actually a better cook, okay, than my, I shouldn't say this on the air, but somewhat of a better cook than my wife, okay, and much more exploratory, and so we, I mean, it's sort of fun to get those kids to come over, because quite frankly, it's better food out of the deal.
And, you know, what I like is, you know, the thing that my wife is really good at, which I detest, is shopping, especially with kids. And so my wife, she could do that all day, and so the grandkids. And so, you know, when they get bored with me and what I want to do, that's what they go and do. And so you can team up on them and do multiple stuff at different times. And then I think sometimes kids are like us too, aren't they, Jack, that they need some free time to go hang out with their smartphone or their pad or their whatever on the computer. I don't want to do too much of that with them on vacation, because I know kids today, if you'd let them, they probably do it nonstop, and it's not good for their little souls and their little minds.
Well, yeah, I know there's a natural press, or whatever you want to call it, for the grandkids to sort of, I guess, enjoy that time. We also had, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember a time when I wanted to be with the other, they call them the Fiennes boys, the five boys, and when I grew up in Utah, and we always would hang out and terrorize the neighborhood and terrorize civilization. And then we'd calm down and that, and end up, we were always at grandparents' house or uncle's house or whatever. But then there was always a downtime when you got a book you wanted to read, or, you know, you listened to some on the radio or whatever, or took a walk by yourself. So you got to integrate. And whenever we take the kids on vacation and the grandkids, we do tend to either go visit or take them somewhere, you know, each summer. You always got to have, like, you know, I guess it's called intense interactive time, when you and they are sort of taking a walk or going to a zoo, San Diego Zoo, whatever. And then you got to have the sort of downtime where they can, you know, take a swim or do some deep thinking, or maybe if they do have to do some texting or whatever they do. It was sort of funny, you talk about alone time. We were at San Diego Zoo with my granddaughter a couple of years ago, and we took that Jeep ride, whatever they call it, out there to see the animals that exist. And, you know, we're having a grand time and everything, and then we were there, and all of a sudden a rhinoceros came up, and we fed it some apples. I didn't know rhinoceros ate fruit, but they knew. And the other thing went up and sat on the front of the Jeep, you know, so we had some downtime, because when you got an 1,100-pound rhinoceros sitting on your Jeep, you know, you really can't move much, you know. And the funny thing is, I turned to my granddaughter, I said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I think I'm just going to get on Facebook right now, take a picture of the rhinoceros. It's pretty funny. People in Illinois don't have rhinoceros in their backyard, so I think it'd be sort of...
Yeah.
It's sort of a hood ornament, in a sense, a great big hood ornament. You
so
know,
taking but, taking trips with them, if you can, can be a fun thing, too.
Oh, yeah. We got her on the... We actually got on the USS Midway out there in San Diego, and we found out, it was sort of funny, we found out, I mean, they have these simulators, or whatever you call them, when the Navy uses to train, aviators, aeronautics. Well, you know, she at that time was 12, and I was not 12, and I thought, well, you know, hey, I'm a guy, and I played guns and toys all my life, so, yeah, I can handle this kind of thing, you know. And I actually sort of didn't want to embarrass her, so I didn't want to, you know, because she's a girl, and, oh, yeah, you know. Well, guess what? She blew everybody out of the air and was a big ace and hero, and I got shot down several times. So,
oh,
you know, not by her, but by the computer. And she got out of her little pod, or whatever you call it, and said, you know, and she called me Papa, you know, Papa, you might want to take some lessons before you do this again.
And they're usually pretty good with those, electronics game, but their fingers and their thumbs especially are much more than mine. They always like to laugh about that because they want me to try their video games, and they can wipe me out, of course, pretty easy. And so they get a big kick out of that. And that's something, too, the other side that we talked about that you can do with your grandkids is to find out what interests them, and then you get exposed to what they're into and help promote that. And that can be real bonding, too, can it not?
Yes, it can. In fact, it's, and quite frankly, many times they'll come up with things that, you know, that you yourself have not really had a handle on too much, because, you know, your own life and who you are and what goes on, and they have a much more broad-minded kind of And they've been around, you know, with some new ideas and new things. Like, for example, I have never been very good about hand-eye coordination. That's not my thing, okay? Give me some Greek or Hebrew I can handle. Give me a Tigger toy set, I'm bad, you know.
Right.
But, I'm joking, but my grandson absolutely loves Legos, okay? I mean, just Lego. And, quite frankly, so is my granddaughter. Well, you know, they are all about getting me into Legos. And so, I mean, it's fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it. But it's amazing how they can teach me how to do that, okay? And quite frankly, it can be a learning experience. My learning curve is very, very high.
Speaking of that, one of your grandkids is on the phone to tell you how bad you are at Legos. No. It's Julia, unless you have a granddaughter named Julia, Jack. We have Julia on to talk about a grandparent story. Julia, thanks for listening. Can you tell us where you're listening from and tell us your story?
I'm from McCook, Nebraska, and we lived on a farm. I'm still here. And we were so blessed to be able to have even our niece and nephew come and stay and spend time, but especially the fact that all of them could come and attend Bible school for 2 weeks.
Oh, and, wow. So your vacation yeah. Bible school, they came and went to that. Had a great
yeah.
time, huh? Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, it was really wonderful. The youngest... one of the youngest granddaughters didn't want to go by herself, so I went with her to Bible school for 2 weeks.
How was that?
Pardon me?
How was that, attending vacation Bible school with the little one?
It was wonderful because I used to teach, and so it was just a natural thing to do.
Well, I'm sure that the grandchild still has great memories of that.
Well, I was really blessed when she was baptized. She was asked to give her witness, and she said that they didn't go to church and Sunday school, but my grandparents took me.
Oh, wow.
And so God is still blessing.
That's
you
right.
Know,
you make a great point there, Julia, that grandparents can have a real influence on their grandkids' spiritual development, because I can remember fondly when my grandkids were real little and we would visit them or they would visit us. And I remember early on that my wife and I and the rest of the family went up to communion. And when we came back, I had, you know, finished kneeling in the pew as I always typically do. My wife hadn't, and there was my granddaughter mimicking every move that her grandma Bonnie did, holding her hands away. And kids learn by watching, and so the modeling spiritually of grandparents can be very, very powerful for the Holy Spirit to use. So, Julia, thanks for listening there in McCook, Nebraska, and thanks for calling in with your grandparents' story.
You're welcome, and we were also blessed to be able to take them up to communion with us so that they could receive a blessing.
The blessing, sure. Sure. Very nice. Very nice.
When they played church, they were giving each other the blessing.
Wow, they were repeating what they heard. How nice is that? Great.
Yes.
Jack, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's great. I tell you, the two things. First of all, one of my blessings is not hand-eye coordination. So therefore, whenever I've taught Sunday school and or, you know, work with Vacation Bible School, the grandkids get great humor out of watching me trying to build Noah's Ark with the toothpicks, okay? Or whatever else is the project that they then drawing. I'm really, they sort of want me there because they know that it won't be serious because my skills are zero in that area. But when we get a kick out when you go on vacation with them is on if it spans over a weekend. Sometimes you're obviously in a different city or maybe in a different city than where they are you live. And to actually find another church, another Lutheran church or whatever, okay, that you can even see and sense the differences in the way that the cross looks, or the altar looks, or the, you know, basically the liturgy is about the same and the music. But it's sort of neat for them to see and explore that no matter where they go in the world, you can find the church and you can find a place to worship Christ and find a place to pray. And that's sort of good for them for the future because, you know, not all grandkids are going to live in all the same town all the same way. And it's good to see that you can be, you know, that the church and Christ and the way we worship, you know, is flexible. I mean, we, you know, you went in Nebraska, or you end in Arkansas, you end up in Alaska, or you end up in, you know, Baltimore, there's still going to be a church, there's still going to be a place to worship, there's still going to be a place to pray, and there's essentials that stay the same. Baptism, communion, sermons, the Bible stays the same.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when they get older, they're going to go to college, and, you know, the big question is, can they continue their faith walk, etc.? And they get to see that by visiting you and seeing that you can, you've extended that faith walk and expanded them and generalized it to some other place.
Sure, sure. And you know, when you go on vacation, no matter where you are, the important thing is find a church and go. And so the kids, grandkids and the kids alike see that. You know, my daughter still tells the story, Jack, that we were on summer vacation with her, and she's just turning sweet 16, you know, so she's into her appearance and everything else. And we were hitting all the national parks, and we were just outside of Yellowstone, and we were roughing it, you know, for weeks, and we hadn't had a shower, a bath or anything. And so Sunday morning I said, let's get up, we're going to church. She said, I'm not going to church looking like this. I said, yes, you are. Go over here and clean yourself up with the water, and we're going. So she was pouting the whole service. And at the end, this was in Bozeman, Montana, the pastor said, if some of our guests would like to stand up, we have quite a few of them today that are probably tourists among us, and tell us where you're from. And I stood up and introduced us and said where we were from. And then there, when the service was over, there was a line of young teenage boys wanting to meet my daughter.
Yeah.
And she got their address, and she said, you know, Dad, this is the very best vacation and church service I've ever been to. So she tells the grandkids, you know, this is why, wherever we travel, because of your grandpa, that we go to church, wherever we are, whatever condition we're in. Isn't that great stuff?
That's tremendous stuff. That's really tremendous stuff.
Yeah.
It's also fun when you talk about religion and spirituality. My grandson now, as I said, he's pre-K, and he's into the prayer thing. He's also very much into God, you know. And so when he weaves, he's beginning to weave or interweave, I guess, the story of God. And all, whenever we play, yesterday we were playing, oh, we had some knights and some castles and somehow some Avenger toys and that kind of stuff. And every once in a while, when somebody was in trouble, all of a sudden the bad guys got put away and the good guys got saved and everything. I said, what happened, you know? He said, well, God came in and fixed it all. I said, God came in. So God had gotten into the act about five or six times. I thought, wow, he's got this, I don't know if he's a real presence, but the real idea of God floating in his life pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
And, Hulk or whatever that green thing is got saved by God a couple times.
It's
pretty interesting because they can deal with it in a realistic manner that's very, very personal, you know.
Oh, yeah, and, you hear about them doing it, you know, playing church with their pets and with their friends and on and on. And so
and you don't want to make fun of that because that basically anything that reinforces the concept of sacred and anything that reinforces the concept of connection with God, whether it's prayer life, acting out a sermon, acting out of a chapel service, or like you said, the lady said from Nebraska, you know, the blessings, anything that connects lets them realize that's a legitimate and very appropriate and very good use of their time. Because then when they do go to church or Bible school or whatever, they can connect up and think that's the right thing to do, you know. You don't want to make fun of it because then they're going to say, oh, no, then I was stupid. I shouldn't do this. You want to say, hey, that's great. And one thing we do, and I know this is not about Christmas or about vacation, but every year we get that Advent wreath out and we light the candles. And that's not every night of the week they come over. When they're over, we'll sing carols and it's a blast. And they can't wait for Advent to come light the candles, you know, and sing the songs. And, of course, there's always popcorn and treats that go on after the service. But
sure.
But when Christmas Day comes, they're very happy for Christmas, but they're sort of sad because the Advent wreath goes away for another 11 months. You know?
Right. And then, so, you know, if you're far away from your grandkids, like some people are, and myself included, you know, when you have these events, and even the spiritual ones, even more so, when you talk to him on the phone, you know, he can bring these things up. You know, talk to them about how their confirmation going, and you know, what's impressed them recently about the Bible, and they start doing it with me now. They'll reverse the thing and ask me questions about that because they're real fascinated now with me not having a church. You know, Grandpa, you don't have a church anymore. How's that? And I'll say, well, you know, I really miss the preaching and the teaching, not so much the rest of it. And they were real interested in that because, you know, how weird is it to see your grandfather up there in the dress and hearing preaching and doing all that? That was kind of neat for them. And they're wondering how I'm doing on that. And I'm saying, well, you know, I'm fine sitting in the pew with your grandma, you know, and but they have those moments too, and we those spiritual bonds and all that we still talk about and apply it. And I remember my grandson now, he's really into what I'm in, Jack. We're both into golf, and so that's one of our favorite things. And one day I hit a bad shot and you know, said some French right after it, which I shouldn't have. And he asked me, he said, you know, hey Grandpa, what was that word? You know, my mom says that's not a word that we're supposed to say. And he told me, well, you're a pastor. And I said, yeah. And I felt really bad. And I told him, well, you know, Hunter, what the book says, that sometimes out of the mouth comes both the holy stuff and the unholy stuff. And I feel bad that you heard it, but I want you to know one thing and listen now. And I talked about ask God to forgive me. And I asked Hunter to forgive me for Jesus' sake. And he keeps bringing that up with me.
That's cool. That's really cool.
He asked me if I say those words on the golf course anymore, and I said, no, your grandma Bonnie won't let me. She will smack me with her club. So
the funny thing is, you talk about correcting grandkids and grandparents. I one time got cheesy with the Advent wreath, and I couldn't find the right color candles. I mean, I went all over the place, and all I could find was like, I don't know, I had like three purple, I had three green ones and a red one. I don't know, you know. And grandkids refused to light the candles, so I found a store with the right kind of candles in it. I said, you can't have candles like that on a Advent wreath. I said, hey, they're candles. 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. You know, imagine them to be this color. He says, we're not imagining anything cheap. Go to Walgreens. They got it.
You go to Walgreens. Jack Fiennes, we have just had so much fun talking with you about grandparents and grandchildren hanging out all times of the year, but especially during summer vacations. And fun in the sun can be had by kids of all ages. So, Jack, thanks for being our guest. We hope you have a great summer. We hope it dries out for you up there in Springville, Illinois, and for the rest of the world, too. And thanks for being such a good friend of Worldwide KFUO.
No problem. And I tell you what, when you're taking your walk with your grandkids this summer, or your kids, walk outside, explore God's world, and walk inside their head and get them to explore with you, you know. So do both walks, and it'll be a wonderful blessing.
Oh, that's great advice. So, Jack, thanks, and God's blessing on your summer as well.
If you want some more real mushrooms, you can come get them out of my front yard.
I'm going to do it. Okay.
God's blessings, everyone.
Thanks for listening, and tune in tomorrow where we'll continue this fun in the sun. And tomorrow's guest, we're going to talk about staycations. I've had a few of those in the last decade or so where you don't tell a lot of people. Usually you just stay at home and do things in the area. And we'll find out all kinds of creative ideas to do with your kids, with your grandkids, staying right in your house and right in your area, right in your region. So tune in for that tomorrow here on Faith and Family. Listen in to the rest of our day. Check us out, kfuo.org, the messenger of good news. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you tomorrow.